You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on June 26th, 2025. And this week, we're talking about how the local church affects our health. A report from the Hartford Institute of Religion Research focused on this topic as it related to clergy or pastors. Yet there's a sense in which all members of the church could potentially be impacted by the things we're going to be talking about here today. We're going to be talking about the factors that they found to affect the health of pastors and see how we ought to deal with them. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-26-25. Now for our story this week. Five church factors that influence a pastor's health. From Lifeway Research, many of the contributing factors to a pastor's health are under the control of the pastor himself. Some congregational attributes, however, can lead to a pastor feeling healthier, according to the Hartford Institute on Religion Research. The report from Hartford's Exploring the Pandemic Impact on Congregation study found U.S. clergy have well-being scores higher than Americans in general. On a scale of 0 to 10, pastors have an average score of 7.6, while the average U.S. adult scores 6.9 on a similar wellness study from Harvard. As part of the clergy study, the report identified several church factors that led to higher well-being scores for pastors. Now, standard disclaimers apply. I do not use the term pastor in the same way that they use it. What they refer to as a pastor is what I would probably call a preacher, in particular, a preacher who is working with a local church. But there is some overlap between what they would call a pastor and what I and many people probably who are listening to this podcast would call a preacher. There's enough of an overlap that I believe this study is worth considering. The five congregational factors identified in the study that impact a pastor's health, either positively or negatively, are these: church size, willingness to change, spiritual vitality and purpose, conflict, and post-pandemic strength. There are a few points we need to remember about these five factors. Number one, a bigger church is not always a better church. This study found that the larger the church, the more likely that the pastor would be healthy. They found that smaller church pastors are by far more likely to report fair or poor health. And not just pastors or preachers or whatever term we want to use, a lot of people prefer larger churches. There are more people, there are more events, more activities, more young people for their kids, and on and on. However, a bigger church does not always mean a better church. Remember what Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, Jesus' warning there does not necessarily mean that if a church is large, then it must not be faithfully following Christ. Often means that, but not always. At the same time, this doesn't necessarily mean that if a church is small, then it is faithful. That's not always the case either. But we need to be careful not to assume that a larger church is necessarily a better church. Because when we do that, we're often using our judgment of what constitutes better rather than how God might define that. And this is something that preachers need to remember. It can be discouraging to put so much effort into our sermons and only a handful of people are even present to hear it, especially when you may be putting the same amount of effort into sermon preparation as a preacher who is preaching to 10 times the number of people or even more. On this point, I've always liked the quote from Daniel Summer, "The preacher of Christ who labors for the glory of God more than to accomplish any other end does not feel discouraged if he has a small audience, nor if he does not see any special results from his labors at certain times and places. He does not aim to make a show of success, but tries so to read and pray, preach and exhort, that his labors may be to God's glory. As a result, he keeps his thoughts heavenward rather than earthward, and is not discouraged by unfavorable appearances. He does not speak in complaining terms to those who are present, because those who are absent are not disposed to hear him preach. Rather than focus on numbers, we need to focus on being faithful. Remember what Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth." Keep planting, keep watering, and trust in God to give the increase. Number two, do not change for the sake of change. This was an interesting one. The study indicated that pastors were healthier if their congregations were open to change. Now, it did not specify what kind of change. Some change is necessary. If we are wrong and our local congregation is doing something or teaching something that's wrong, that needs to be corrected. If what we're doing is not working, that needs to be evaluated and adjusted. But some change is wrong. We cannot depart from the pattern that's been given to us in the New Testament. But then there's also some change that is optional. We could use our judgment to determine if the change is good or not, as long as we are still doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. But we need to be careful about wanting change for the sake of change. The wise man warned about this in the book of Proverbs. He said, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change." Again, some change is necessary, but if we just want to change for the sake of change, it indicates that we are discontent and possibly even have a rebellious attitude. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting to improve things, but if you are a preacher, remember that it is not your job to leave a mark on the congregation by reshaping it according to your vision, which is a term that's popular among denominational pastors. Your job is to remind the brethren of the things that are taught in the Word of God. That's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, the King James Version has put the brethren in remembrance. You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. And then looking ahead to the future, Paul told Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The things that Paul taught were the things that Timothy were to teach, and that was what the next one after him was to teach, and so on and so on. So assuming that there is nothing in the local congregation that needs to be corrected, then we should be content with the work continuing as it has been. Yes, always trying to improve, always trying to grow, that's a given. But if the congregation is doing what it ought to do, we should not want to make major changes to that. Number three, preach the word even if brethren are uninterested. This one here is no surprise. If a congregation is not spiritually healthy, that will be discouraging, and that can have an impact on our health. And if a congregation is spiritually healthy, then that will provide us with the encouragement that we need. If you are a preacher in a congregation that is not spiritually healthy, your responsibility is the same. As Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Of course, if the church is not spiritually healthy and they're not interested in that, you may not last long there. Paul went on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But even though they may want someone who tells them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear, you do your work anyway without compromise. The next verse, Paul said, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Even if you wear out your welcome in that local church, at least you will prove to be faithful to God. Number four, work to resolve conflict. Again, no surprise with this one. The more conflict exists in a church, the more of a negative impact it's going to have on us. So what do? Well, first, we work to heal unnecessary division. Paul encouraged the church at Philippi to help two sisters who were both faithful Christians, but they evidently had some unresolved dispute between them. He said, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." So if there's a conflict in the church, unnecessary problems, work to heal that division. Second, strive to maintain the unity that does exist. Paul told the Ephesians, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Diligent to preserve unity. Diligence means that it's going to take effort. We need to work at that. But then third, we need to stand up to those who cause division. Sometimes it's tempting to remain silent because we want to avoid conflict. But some conflict is necessary. Failure to confront the ones who are causing division will only make the problem worse. Notice how Paul handled the Judaizing teachers who were causing division. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. It may not be easy, but it is necessary to stand up against those who are causing trouble in the church. Number five, do not let the past hinder the work in the present. Now, this study particularly was talking about the pandemic and the things that happened then. And the pandemic and how it was handled throughout this country and around the world wreaked havoc on local churches. It divided brethren. It caused some to view online worship as a legitimate replacement for the assembly. And as we look back, we may see mistakes that we made in how we handled that situation. I know with where I am, the congregation that we were, there were things that we did that, looking back, we should have done differently. However, whatever is in the past is past. We may have made mistakes, and if we have, we can make things right, but we cannot undo what we did. There may be brethren who have left. Maybe we might be able to get them back. Maybe they're never coming back. But rather than wishing things were different and allowing that to paralyze us, we need to build up the church from where it is now. Remember what Paul told the Philippians, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Do not focus so much on the way things were in the past that you ignore the opportunities and the responsibilities that you have in the present. So, in summary, can the conditions that exist in a local church affect our health? Well, maybe it can. And that may have an impact on our decision to stay or to go or to make some changes if that needs to be done. But remember that the most important thing is that we remain faithful to God and carry out the work that He has given us to do. Regardless of the size of the congregation, how well our preaching is received, what conflict may exist, or what trouble may have come in the past, we can do what is right now and continue to do that in the future. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-26-25. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or to share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you would prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, you can check that out on Substack. It will be linked in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.